translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Aditi said, "O my respected Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion and welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha and Karma flourish in a household of life, which is consequently full of good fortune." Purport. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and according to regulation in the Shastra. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounce order. Kashyapa Muni was not in the renounce order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as a Brahmin and another time as a Griha Maidin. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as householder life was concerned, everything was going on nicely, and the Brahmanas and the cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there was no disturbance. Householder life was duly progressing. Text number 10. Api sarva kushalina stava putra manishvini laksha swastam atmanam bhavatya lakshaniraham. Translation. O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your weathered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so? And she replies, Aditi said, O my respected Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha and Karma flourishes in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Om Jnanati Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Milatan Jena Tasma Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastatade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I thank the devotees here for allowing me to say a few words. I don't feel particularly qualified, but I thank you for your time. Vanchakal Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitonam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Generally, when we can look at someone's face, a lot is to be said about the person's personality or what they're going through in life. So here, when Kashyapa Muni has returned from his penance and austerities, upon returning home, he immediately picks up on his wife. And by looking at her face, he can see that his wife is not happy. He can see his wife is disturbed. And in householder life, when the wife is not happy, then there's no Om Shanti Om. So then the husband has to try and find what is upsetting the wife. The general rule of the thumb is that the husband has to make sure the wife is happy in her householder life. She has to perform her duties nicely. And if she is not happy, then the husband has to try and find out why the wife is not happy. What is causing her the disturbance? Why is she unsatisfied? So here the husband has returned home and has been duly respected by the wife. And upon seeing the wife in this lamentable situation, he is inquiring what is her disturbance. And the wife is replying that The husband is maybe thinking that the wife might have done something wrong in a householder life. Earlier on is giving description that maybe she has disrespected someone. If a guest comes to your house and if you disrespect them, that is not a good sign. Even if it's your enemy, if they come to your place, then you have to show them respect. We see in the Mahabharata when the war used to take place during the daytime, they would fight fiercely. And then in the evening, it is explained there in the Mahabharata that sometimes they would go to in each other's tent and they would welcome each other. So there was this one situation when Duryodhana was relaxing and he heard a knock. And when he saw who was at the tent, he was surprised. It was Arjuna. Arjuna had come. So at first Duryodhana was a little bit surprised to see Arjuna over there. But he welcomed him. He offered him a nice seat. And he said, "What is it that you want?" So you can see that even though they were enemies, Duryodhana was welcoming him nicely. So in this way, the husband was going through different scenarios that could be wrong in the householder life. So here it is explained that some of the duties of the householder is that he has to take care of the cows. And if a grihastha looks after the cows and he performs the Gauraksha program, then this will be very, very auspicious for the householder life. Generally, the tradition was that you would have a graha, a house, and then in the backyard there would be a cow. Cow would represent the dharma. So in this way, she's saying, no, the cows have been nicely looked after. There's no problem in that area. Then she also mentions a few other things, religion. So the fundamental basic principle of a householder is that it has to have dharma. So here in the purpose, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that when we enter grihastha life, these are the principles a grihastha has to live. Dharma, artha, and karma. And the first principle when we enter grihastha life is that we have to have dharma. What does dharma mean? What does dharma constitute? It means our eternal occupation, Sanatan Dharma. Sometimes there's a little misunderstanding amongst our community. Some of the guests who might come here, they think dharma means to perform your duties and that is the all in all. But actually, that is not the real point of what the dharma of the grihastha is. Although we must perform our duties, although we must perform our needs in grihastha life, what is the real meaning of dharma in grihastha life is that we have to keep God within the center of our grihastha life. The moment we take God away, the moment we take religion away from our grihastha life, then what happens? We become griha medi. So griha medi and grihasthas are both living in a householder life. But generally, the griha medi's philosophy is something like this. So much wealth I have today. So much more I'll get tomorrow. And if anyone comes my way, paraboom, I will kill them. So that's the general mentality of a griha medi, that they want to prosper. They want to elevate themselves. They want to be prominent. They always want to be seen as the most respected householder. So that's a griha medi. Someone who doesn't have God-conscious understanding in grihastha life. So, however, Aditi has been nicely trained in understanding about the principles of householder life, and she understands that dharma in this situation means religion, Sanatan Dharma, which is our eternal occupation. Jivera Swarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das, that we are the servants of Krishna. And once we establish that foundation, that whatever we do in Grihastha life is to please God, is to satisfy Krishna, then the other things will come nicely. That is Artha. Artha means that we need some things, some material things in Grihastha life. It's no point marrying somebody and after the wedding you have nowhere to take your wife. We live under the tree or we live in the car. No, the wife will not be happy. The wife needs a graha, a house to stay in. So it is the duty of the husband to provide a suitable place for the wife to perform her duty. That is why it is called a graha ashram, grihastha ashram. Means the place where the husband has a house, a householder life. So then in this way, the husband provides a nice place for the wife to perform her duties. They can live there and then they can raise their children. Now one point is important. If we don't understand our dharma, which is to serve Krishna, then the other parts, the artha and the karma, can be construed or misinterpreted or could be taken wrongly. And that is that we just want to expand. We just want to have loads of facilities. We just want to have a nice situation. We just want to have a very, very nice bank balance. The idea of Grihastha life is whatever we do, whatever our accumulation is, we try and use that to satisfy Krishna. We saw that in the householder life of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When he was working in the householder life, he was trying to use whatever wealth he had for printing back to Godhead, for organizing different satsangs. Although his wife saw differently, still Srila Prabhupada was trying to understand the artha side of Grihastha life, is that whatever wealth we have or whatever facilities we have, we use this to somehow or another use it for our dharma. And then the next one, which is karma. Karma means certain sense gratification. So we enter householder life so that we can have a little bit of pleasure, we can have a little bit of sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that in the Shastra, Grihasthas are given a certain license to have some restricted sense gratification. And this sense gratification, because we have these material bodies, the senses are very, very powerful, they are always being bewildered by the different objects of the senses. And if we're not a proper yogi or a tyagi, whereby we can control our senses, then we can try and control our senses by regulating our sense gratification. And that is what is required in Grihastha life. If there's no regulation, if there's no rules, then the Grihastha life then becomes a Grihamedi, which is just to enjoy. Then one just wants to gratify one's senses. But as we all know, no matter how hard we try to gratify our senses, no matter how hard we try to satisfy our senses, it is very, very difficult. In fact, it's impossible. Because trying to satisfy the senses is like trying to pour petrol on a fuel. What happens? it just becomes unsatisfied. No matter how much fuel you put on, it just keeps on going and going and going. So the senses can never really be satisfied. Once Akbar was having a discussion with his minister, and they were talking about the desire of sex. So then Akbar was saying that, oh, when you get old, then your sex life subsides. It's not as powerful, your senses, you know, you don't feel so attracted to it. And Birbal was saying, no, that's not true. Then Akbar said, no, it's only in your youth you feel very virile. And afterwards you kind of want to renounce it. And then Birbal was saying, no, this desire is so strong, this need for sense gratification is so powerful, no matter what kind of a body you have, whether it's a youthful body, whether it's a middle-aged body or an old body, that desire is very, very, very strong and very powerful. And it'll attract you. And then Akbar was not having this. So then one day, Akbar was going to the hospital. I think he was not feeling very well. And then Birbal, he went to see Akbar. Akbar went to see somebody who was sick in the hospital. He was like an older person. He was getting old and he was coming to his last leg of his life. So then Akbar was visiting this older person. And then Birbal also came. And then Birbal said to Akbar, bring your granddaughter also. We can also just go and see how your friend is doing. So then when they entered into the hospital area, Akbar saw the old gentleman. And then the old man said, oh, yeah, life's getting on. I'm getting a bit old. Very, very sick. Then Birbal came in afterwards. And then he greeted the old man. And the old man hardly had his eyes open. But when the granddaughter came in, then the old man, his eyes opened up. He somehow or another came to life. And his senses started becoming... So then Birbal explained to Akbar, you see, when he saw me, when he saw you, he wasn't too particularly interested. As soon as your granddaughter came, then immediately, somehow or another, even though his body was not capable, his mind was still alert. So this need for sense gratification is very, very strong, very, very powerful. And then we've had dharma, we've had artha, then karma. So then in this way, the Aditi wife was explaining what was happening in the household. Everything was going on very, very nicely. So then, what is your suffering? What is causing you so much pain? Then she's explaining that my sons have disappeared. My sons have gone. And I have no idea where they are. Now, if you are a parent, if you have any children, if you lose contact of your child, if you don't know where they are, then it's a very, very painful situation. Because that bond that the mother Aditi has with her children are Indra, Vayu, Moon God, Sun God, they've all been chased away by the power of the demons. The demons are much more powerful. Their army cannot be defeated. In a situation when you know that you cannot defeat your enemy, you have to leave. So then Indra disappeared. And this was causing anxiety to Aditi. This was her suffering. This was her pain. The pain that the mother has when the child disappears is very, very, very powerful. So there was one devotee, I remember, he was from America, and when he was young, he just disappeared. He packed his bags up, Usually when you get 16, 18, you just get your rucksack and vroom, you disappear. And you don't tell your mom and dad and you just go, and you go traveling. And 1 year had passed, 2 years had passed, and the mother was naturally in a lot of anxiety, wondering where my son was. And over this period of time, this person who was traveling around, he came across some devotees. So then he met some devotees. Then slowly, slowly became interested in the devotee's life. And by this time, many, many years had gone by. Because when you're a teenager, when you're young, your only thought is about yourself. You don't care about the suffering that you're causing maybe to your parents or to your loved ones. You're just thinking that you are number one. And whatever way I can gratify my senses, that's the most important. So this teenager, he was out, you know, and then over a period of time he met the devotees. Then he became very interested, he got initiated. And then he started realizing actually, you know, I haven't contacted my mother for such a long time. It's been more than 5-6 years. Because as a devotee, you're compassionate, you feel other person's suffering. So eventually, he realized his mistake. So he decided that he wanted to contact his mother again after such a long time. So he phoned his mother up, and then the mother picked up the phone and then heard the voice of her son. The voice of the son really made the mother very, very happy. And then immediately she started kind of crying, "Oh, I haven't heard from you. Where are you? It's been such a long time. How come you haven't been keeping in touch?" So they were talking for a long time, and the mother was very, very emotional, getting connected again with the son. And then the mother said, "So anyway, what have you been doing? What are you up to? What do you do these days?" Then they said, "Well, actually, I've become a Hare Krishna monk." And then the mother said, "Really?" And I said, so then the son was thinking, "Oh God, mom's going to get really upset. It's already been 5 years. And then to tell your mom that you become a monk, it's not the best news to give to your mom." And the mother said, "Oh really, that's wonderful. Because I'm a monk as well." And the son, "Oh really?" And goes, the mother goes, "What kind of a monk are you?" And then the son goes, "Well, I'm a Hare Krishna monk." And then mother goes, "Oh, Hare Bol then." And then the son was taken back. He goes, "Come again?" He says, "Oh, Hare Bol, how are you doing?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna monk too. I met the devotees. And I become interested. I become initiated as well." So the son was very, very happy. Although in his presence he was traveling, he met the devotees separately. The mother, she met the devotees, and she also became initiated. So in this way, the point being, when the son or the teenagers, when they disappear, this causes a lot of pain. So even like at the moment, like I'm a kind of a parent with my own teenagers, you know, you hardly see your Shishirada Gokulanandaki. You hardly see your children because they're in their own world. So although you have this very, very strong attachment to your children, which gives you so much happiness, so much pleasure being in the company of your children, at the same time, that same attachment gives you so much pain, gives you so much suffering. And especially if they just disappear just like that. And when the parents have no idea where the children are, as in the case of Aditi, then that attachment is so painful, it is very, very difficult. We always constantly hear in the news when a child is abducted, when the child is missing, when the child has been taken away, the parents, year after year after year, they're trying to find the child. They're trying to make all ways of trying to relocate the child. Because that's a very, very powerful bond that's there between the parent and the child. So the parent always wants to see the welfare of the child. So Aditi is suffering because she doesn't know how her children are. She doesn't know what kind of suffering they're going through. They've been driven out from their place. They've been taken away from their comfortable situation. So if you have a situation in your grihastha life, then all of a sudden the landlord comes and evicts you, takes you away. It's not a very nice situation. So you're homeless, you don't know where you're going, you've been pursued by a powerful enemy. So in this way, this was causing a lot of pain and a lot of suffering to Aditi. So the idea is that we have to understand that in grihastha life, although we accumulate, although we have attachments, although we are bound by different kinds of relations, these attachments, ultimately, if seen it through the light of dharma, shastra, they cause us pain. So henceforth, at the beginning of our householder life, it is dharma that we have to establish. It is not karma, it is not artha, because unless we understand the fundamental understanding of what our position is in this material world, then we will be engulfed by these attachments. We will get very bewildered, and sometimes we'll get so consumed that we lose track of our goal. Because our real attachment at the end of the day should be towards Krishna. And although it's a painful thing to say, although it's a difficult thing, because I know what it is to be a parent, we have to understand at one point in our life, we will have to give that attachment up. And that powerful bond, that powerful attachment could be the one that's holding us back in our spiritual life. That one attachment, that one powerful, all-consuming attachment that is causing us suffering, is causing us pain, could be the anchor that is stopping us. So henceforth, here it is explained that there's dharma, then there's artha, then there's karma. So those three things take place in our grihastha householder life. But what comes last? Moksha. And that is the real goal of life. That is the real understanding of what grihastha life is all about, is to obtain that moksha, and not moksha in the way that we understand, so how some people think, become one with the Brahman, or just get relief from our suffering situation. Now, for us, moksha means to be connected with Krishna. So all these different things, dharma, artha, karma, it's householder life, performing our duties, looking after the cows, keeping religion, keeping the deities, giving in charity, feeding the brahmanas, all these things have to lead us towards that ultimate goal, which is to be connected with Krishna. And if we don't, then, as Mahaprabhu has said, great sorrow will await you at the time of death. So therefore, Mahaprabhu is saying that that attachment that we have, it is better that we become attached to that darling son of Yashoda. Because that attachment to Krishna will actually be your real cause of happiness. It will be your real cause of fulfilling your purpose in life. Otherwise, if we dilly-dally here and there with our different attachments in householder life, it's very, very difficult. It's not easy to give up, because we expand, we get more and more and more. And when someone takes something away, it is not easy. You might have all had that experience. You know, how many of you have lost your phone? What kind of anxiety have you gone through? I know I just go on panic mode. Oh, where's my phone? Where's that? And that's just one material little object. So this is to show us how it's very easy to get caught up. Oh, but Prabhu, I need it for my service. But the thing is, we have to understand this senses of material object, they, if not have a detachment to it, they bound us. Because every activity we do in this material world, if it's not towards Krishna, it bounds us. It keeps us in this material world. So therefore, even though Aditi is seeing her children in this suffering situation, she is in that pain, we have to ultimately understand that even this byproduct we have to give them up. And the perfect, perfect example of this is given by Queen Kunti. After the battle of Kurukshetra was over, Krishna stayed for a little while to pacify Maharaj Yudhishthira. He was in a lot of pain because there was so much killing going on. So Krishna stayed. And then as Krishna was about to leave, then Queen Kunti approached Krishna and offered many, many prayers. And one of the most astounding thing that Kunti says to Krishna, he says that, please give me the strength, the power, that I can be detached from my sons. And we all know that her sons were the Pandavas. And they were not ordinary sons. They were not just any Tom, Dick or Harry. They were very close to Krishna. They were pure devotees of Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj was known as Dharmaraj. So he was very, very elevated. But still, Queen Kunti is saying that for me to obtain you, to get your favor, I need to be detached from my own children. Such is the power, such is the force of Maya when we get attracted to this particular situation. Once Narada Muni, when he was visiting Narayan, and then he was speaking with Lord Narayan, and he was saying, what is it that constantly the sages are talking about, this Maya, this illusion, it's so strong, it's so difficult. I don't understand it. What is Maya? You know, I don't seem to have kind of any real issues with Maya. I am happy chanting Radhika Raman, Radhika Raman. So what is this Maya? Then Narayan said, Maya is not always easy to understand. Anyway, so Narada Muni just went away. And as a renunciate, he knocked on this one door and he was wanting something to eat. And then as the door opened, then there was a very nice young, beautiful lady. And this lady saw a sage, someone in the renounce order. And the custom is you invite them over. And then this young lady started offering nice services to Narada Muni. Narada Muni started to like this. Oh, this is very nice. I like this. She brought some nice prasadam, gave a nice garland. And then the father came in. And generally it is explained that when a renunciate goes door to door, how long does he stay there? As long as it takes to milk the cow. However, the milking of the cow was finished and Narada Muni was staying a little bit longer than milking of the cow, and the milk turned into yogurt. And then slowly, slowly, he got captivated by this girl. And then when the father came, he asked in hand of his daughter. And then the father said, yes, not a problem. Then Narada Muni, he gave up his renunciate life, and then he got married, and lo and behold, Grihastha, he got a house and he was living very, very comfortably. He had a nice wife, a nice house. And then, naturally, he had some byproducts, some children, and he was enjoying life very, very nicely, playing with the children, coochie-coochie-coo, and that bond was really, really, really getting stronger and stronger. And then, whenever he was away, he was immediately thinking, when can I get home? I can be with my wife, I can be with my children. And then as time went, a big hurricane came, a big thunderstorm came, and then the water started lashing down and raining and raining and raining, and the water started rising and rising and rising. And then the people, they were all like getting drowned in this flood. And then Narada Muni saw his own children getting drowned in the flood. And he was feeling so much pain. And him and his wife, they were climbing to the top of the roof to try and save themselves from this torrential rain. And then he was holding on to his wife. And this big gush of wave came and took his wife away. And he said, "No!" And then at that point, then he said, "Narayan, Narayan." As soon as he said that, he ended up in Vaikuntha next to Lord Vishnu. So then Lord Vishnu said, "Do you know what Maya is now?" And I said, "Oh, I know exactly what Maya is." So in conclusion, in our householder life, we have to be very, very careful that we don't get overly attached. We don't get too carried away. We have to have a certain sense of detachment. If we don't, what's going to happen? It's going to be forced and taken away at the time of death. So it is better that we cultivate that slowly, slowly, appropriately, properly, at the right time. And then when it comes to that ultimate test, we won't be affected by detachment, by attachment. It is said that when the soul is about to leave, when it's about to pass away, when the relatives cry, this crying just keeps the soul more bound up. It just keeps him more into the material world. So all around in householder life, not just the parent have to be detached over a period of time, but also whoever's in the householder life. And in this way, we can attain the ultimate goal, which is to be with Krishna Moksha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Any questions, comments, queries, complaints?